So tonight we're going to jump back into Zechariah. We're going to, like I told you last week, we go back and forth, back and forth. Zechariah, Haggai, Nehemiah, Ezra, and Daniel. All of them was in captivity. Well, Daniel did not come back with the crowd. Daniel stayed in Babylon. Because Daniel was with the first group who went into Babylon, because King Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted the smart one from Israel. He wanted the smart ones. Why? What's that? Meshach? Yeah, all of those guys went down into Babylon. The first group with Nebuchadnezzar. So Daniel, he stays there because the king wanted him to be a part of his administration, because Daniel was a very wise man, because God used Daniel down in Babylon. So these men, they was all in captivity together. I'm quite sure that Ezra, Zechariah, Zerubbabel, Joshua, Nehemiah, all of these men learn a lot from Daniel down in Babylon. So before I get into this any further, let us turn to Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2. If someone want to start reading the first three, then we'll pick it up from there. We're all gonna read together. Chapter 2. Huh? Go ahead. If you want to, yes. Someone, okay. No, someone else want to pick it up? Where you stopped at, verse 6? Here is Zechariah's was, if we look at Zechariah's chapter 1, what he calls for the children of Israel, a call of repentance. Zechariah and Haggai, Zechariah was much younger than Haggai. They both was dual ministry. As they say in our term today, they both was dynamite when it came down to spreading God's word to the children of Israel. We're going to go back a little bit because if you look at the children of Israel, they did not want for anything, did they? When they came out of captivity, God fed them. God healed them. God watched over them. God gave them everything that they want. They didn't need no frying pans. They didn't need no skillets. God just sent it all down from heaven. He took care of them. You would think to yourself that, man, somebody do something like that for me. Man, listen, I am going to worship him and I am going to praise him all the days of my life. Wow. Israel had a problem obeying God. So this is how we got to the point where we are at today, moving forward into Zechariah. The children of Israel had a problem because they always, God told them not to get involved with other countries or other nations, because what they would do, they would cause for them to worship their gods, their idols. I often try to put my mind around this. Why the other nations, they knew Israel had a God that watched over them. Why they didn't believe in Israel's God? That thing have always puzzled me. I think because they knew what God wanted Israel to do, and these other nations, they didn't want to serve God because they figured God may have been too strict, and that's why they made their own gods and own idols. But God had a plan for Israel, and that plan was, listen, I want you to be obedient to me. As I stated, God provided them with everything. He told them, I want you to obey. He made, if you look at the scriptures, he made several references in the scriptures that blessings and curses. And do, if you do this, this is what I will do for you. Back to the desert. He was their light. He was their cloud. He was everything to them that they needed. Their sandals didn't wear out. They had plenty of food to eat. They had fresh water. They had all of that. But over the years, God had to deal with Israel. So when you look at Zechariah and Haggai, Haggai told them, listen, because of your disobedience, because you did not listen to what God told you, Zerubbabel brought you back from exile, and what happened? You ate good, you dressed good, you looked good, you stayed in your beautiful home, but you still neglected me. Now you see what happened? God even blessed them down in Babylon. God even blessed them down in Babylon, church. Jeremiah 29 told him, tell us that he said, settle down, marry, plant your garden, eat from your garden. I'm going to be with you down there. Don't worry about it. But what happened when you left Babylon and you got so comfortable to the house of God, sat in ruin for 15 years, and Haggai had to go and said, listen, this is what God says. You plant your crops, nothing is growing. You put your hands in your pocket, you got a hole in it. You put on a coat and you're still cold. All of these things. Now look at you because of disobedience. Let me stop for a second before we get into the lesson. The sad part about this is that was Israel back then. We do the same thing today. The same thing today. Disobedience. And I wonder sometime, saints, people just don't like because they think God's got handcuffs on them. God gave us a free will from the beginning. He put Adam and Eve in the garden. He told them not to eat of that certain tree. And guess what? They did it. They did it. And ever since then, men have been turning their back on God. But the thing about it, God is so merciful. God is so merciful. He give us a chance, just like he continued to give Israel, his children, chances back then. But Zechariah came, called for them to call them to come to repentance. Zechariah told them, listen, in the 8th chapter 1, I'm just reading, going over chapter 1. We read chapter 2, but I'm going over chapter 1. In the 8th month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Adiah, the prophet, saying, the Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore, say to them, thus said the Lord of hosts, return to me, said the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, said the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom former prophets preached to them, saying, thus said the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways, your evil deeds, but they did not listen nor hear the word from the prophet. They did not listen. They did not listen. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Surely my word and my status, which I command my servant, the prophet, did they not overtake your fathers? So they returned and said, just as the Lord of hosts determined to do to us, according to our ways and according to our deeds, so has he dealt with us. Absolutely. Yes.
But he's been there all the time.
Satan have always been around.
Oh, always.
Always been around.
And that was the basic problem to the people of Israel and to the people of the other nations.
Yes.
Satan.
And continued. His job is to, listen, the Bible say he's the enemy of our soul. And he's going to continue to do things to us until the day we die. But we have the word. We have the word of God. Jesus didn't die for nothing. Jesus didn't die for nothing. He came to be an example when he said, it is finished on the cross. It is finished. And when Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, and when Satan told, when Jesus was baptized, right out of the water he came, Satan confronted him. If you're the Son of God, do this. But what did Jesus say? You know better already. It's written. you know already it's written. Because you was there, you know it's written. So you're not going to do this to me, devil. That's what Satan was telling him. So the same Jesus that came up out of that water is telling me and you today, listen, we have somebody on our side. Man, listen. The purpose, listen, all of this that we're talking about in the Bible, Zechariah, Nehemiah, Ezra, Daniel, and going back to Exodus, Genesis, all of these chapters, it was setting stage for Jesus to make his way. Brother O'Day was telling me last week when we was talking, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, hey, in the book, in the volume of the book, in the volume of the book, Jesus have been spoken about even from Genesis chapter 3, verses 15. Jesus been talking about. And the thing about it, you know, church, here's the thing about it, is I often, don't think Brother Hobbs is crazy for saying this, but I often think about what was the conversation in heaven concerning Jesus coming down here, born into a virgin named Mary. What was that conversation about? Was it about, Dad, you know what I got to do? Yeah, son, I know what you got to do. This thing was already in motion. When they ate that apple, this thing was already, it was already in motion. Because, listen, God knew that he had to send Jesus. Because if Jesus had not came, what we're doing tonight would be totally in vain. It would be totally in vain. And our worship would be in vain. But it's not in vain because Jesus came on the scene. In the 8 month correspondent to October, now these are the date BCs, when I mean before Christ. In the 8 month correspondent to October, November, our calendar, Darius ruled Persian from 522 to 486. This, his second year, was 520 BC. The name Zechariah means Yahweh remembers. The name Zechariah means Yahweh remembers, emphasizing God's faithfulness to his covenant, his promise, and to his people. The father's reference to the ancestors of the present generation who had disobeyed God came under his judgment. Second Chronicles 36, verse 15 to 16. The word "return to me" remind us of the depth of God's unconditional love, said the Lord of hosts, the personal name translated, Lord, Lord, speaks of God's gracious nature as he relate to his people and tell them what he expect of them, how much he loved them, and he sent his prophet to die for the world. How often do you and I disobey? Or how often that you and I see the needs of others that don't know the Lord and refuse to tell them about Jesus? It is all about Jesus, church. So when we look at Zechariah, God have always used men and prophets to carry out his message. Zerubbabel, if you look in Matthew's, if you look at Jesus' family tree, you'll see Zerubbabel. You will see Zerubbabel in Jesus' family tree. Read that when you get a chance. When we look at the message, the vision of the measuring line, here is the young man reference to Zacharias. Hear the words may indicate that Zechariah was a young man when he began to prophesy in his ministry. Zechariah left Babylon as a young man. Zacharias was born in Babylon. All of these men that was born in Babylon, God used them for his purpose. This young man saying, Jerusalem should be inhabited as a town without a wall because of the multitude of men, livestock, and it. For I say, the Lord will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glorious in the midst. Wow. Wow, glory in the midst. The town without walls, Jerusalem, will have no need for any defense because God would fight their battle. What's that? Amen. Same people. Absolutely. It boils down to absolutely disobedience. I have seen people in the Lord's house, in the Lord's church, that the gospel was being preached and was said, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. And those brothers and sisters did it anyway. Let me share something with you that is very, 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 very seriously serious and very, very dangerous. Is that when we ignore the word of God, there is a price all of us have to pay. I seen that happen firsthand. Something broke out in the midst of a congregation. I'll tell you this. Nicole Clemens, I will never forget her. The preacher was preaching hard about obedience, how God would bless. Nicole Clemens came up and she was baptized that Sunday. 2 weeks later, she came to church. This is honestly, I'm telling you, a fight broke out. A brother and sister was heading to the pulpit to jump on the preacher, Sister Nancy. And I'm sitting back, and everybody's sitting back. And that young lady that I baptized left. My point that I'm making is that you allow somebody to be baptized, to act that way, and God tells us things must be done decent and order. The fruit of the Spirit is love, kindness, all of these things of that nature. But I've seen God dealt with people in his own time. God dealt with people because you allow a soul to come in because of your disobedience. You allow that young lady to walk away. And she ended up going to another congregation. It wasn't the Church of Christ. That's sad. So here we look at Zechariah as we continue. Zechariah, although Babylon was east of Israel, traveled. Typical, followed the Euphrates River and approached Israel from the north. The word, the be glory, I will be glory, I will be the glory. These words drive us to the vision of the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, verses 1 and 3. Although Babylon was east of Israel, travel typically followed the Euphrates River and approached Israel from the north. The name Zion may have first applied to the Jebusites, the stronghold captured by David, 2 Samuel 5 and 7. It was later used for the Temple Mount. And because the disobedience of God's people, they was taken into Babylon. Daniel was taken into Babylon when he was, the scholars say, he was between 17 and 19. By the time the 70 years was over with, Daniel was between 80 or 90 years old. But he was still doing God's work down in Babylon till the day he died. That's what we should be doing. If you look at the fact that Zechariah, Haggai, both was doing God's work, God gave Zechariah several vision. We have to understand something. The vision that God gave Zechariah would lead up to the Messiah. When we understand, land occurs in the Old Testament only here among the believers. God has arose himself from his heavenly sanctuary and was about to intervene on behalf of his people. Hence, be silent was not a problem of worship, but cause for terror at the judgment that was about to unleash from God's glory. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 17. Zechariah saw a heavenly courtroom where Joshua, representing the people of Judah, was standing before the angels of the Lord and was being accused by Satan. Listen, we're always going to be accused by Satan. We're not going to get around that. We're all going to be accused by, God, look at Lacey. He's not perfect. Look what he's doing. Man, you know what God will say to the devil? This is why you're not in heaven. When we look at the, listen, this is what I want you guys to do for me. Chapter 5, I don't know when I get a chance to speak before you guys again, but I want you guys to read chapter 4 and chapter 5, and the next time that, and we're gonna discuss those as well. But hear the word of the Lord from Zechariah. When we look at God's word, and when we look at the kings that calls for Israel to sin, these kings calls for Israel to sin and disobey God by worshiping idols, by doing evil, by ignoring God, by turning away from his holy word. What more can a person ask for when God takes care of you, when God watches over you, when God has sent his son Jesus in the world for you, what more can a person ask for? What more do we need? If God is for us, then who can be against us? Romans 8 tells us what can separate us from the love of God. Is it death? Is it nakedness? Is it pearl? What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing should be able to separate us from the love of God, but we allow things to separate us from the love of God. We allow things to separate us from the love of God. This is why Haggai and Zechariah were trying to tell the people, God watched over you down in Babylon. He made you at peace in Babylon. And some of the people stayed in Babylon. Some of them stayed there in Babylon. But guess what? They gave of their means for the return. Those who were returning with Zerubbabel, with Ezra, and Nehemiah. God made sure that pricked the hearts of Cyrus and Darius. Listen, we are sending back what Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple, the first temple, out of Solomon's house. We are sending this back. Those kings thought that they was doing something wonderful, but God was using them for his glory to give his word to his people in Babylon. What is your Babylon today? What is my Babylon today? What kind of addiction, what kind of problem, what am I facing that keeps me captive to own self? You see, we're not in Babylon, down in the Babylon that Egypt was in, Israel was in, but we are in a Babylon to self. I may not know your Babylon. You may not know my Babylon. But if something got you captive in your mind, God, Jesus, can bring you out of it. Jesus can bring you out of your own Babylon. That is why God sent Jesus. That is why God sent Haggai, Zechariah, Ezra, Nehemiah, all of these men to tell the people, in spite of what you have done, in spite of what you have done to me, in spite that you turn your back on me, I'm still going to show you love. Man, listen, do you know the world won't show you that kind of love? You do something to somebody in the world, they're going to turn, but listen, God said, listen, in spite of what you've done, I love you. You're the apple of my eyes. Wow. No, listen, Israel did all of these things to the Lord. Moses told them what would happen if they disobeyed. Joshua told them what would happen. Jeremiah told them what would happen. Ezekiel and all of these prophets warned the children of Israel of their behavior, and yet they ignore the word of the Lord. Found themselves down in Babylon. Found themselves, many died because of disobedience. Many suffer because of disobedience. God do not want to do certain things to us, but we call for him to do it because of disobedience. Zechariah told the people, return to the Lord, and he will return unto you. You knew what happened to your forefathers. The prophet was sent to them, and they ignored the prophets. They didn't want to hear what the prophet had to say. Many prophets was killed because spreading the word, telling what the Lord says. You and I today may not be killed physically, but a person that we're telling the truth about the word of God, folks can destroy us. our trotter destroys. But we don't have to worry about that. As long as we're walking right and doing right in front of the Lord, for the Lord, blessings will come our way. As we come to a close, Zechariah, the future joy of Zion, many nations. Up flee from the land of the north, said the Lord. For I have spread you abroad like the four winds of heaven, said the Lord. Up Zion, escape you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. Escape. For thus said the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory. The nation which plundered you, for he who touched you touched the apple of my eyes. For he who touched you touched the apple. In spite of what you have done, if you come back to me and turn to me, listen, I do for you what I promise you. I do for you what I promise you. Zechariah was a man like many prophets. He spoke for the Lord. Dying as an old man, Zechariah paved the way by telling Israel what God wanted them to do. Sing and oh, rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming and I will dwell in your midst, said the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord. In that day, they should become my people and I will dwell in your midst. Wow. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. The word touch refers to a touch that produced harm. The apple of his eyes reference to the wonderful things he would do. This is a enduring expression suggests how emotionally important the Hebrew people are to God because of his covenant with them, just as we protect our eyes from even the smallest particle of dust, so God protects and cares for his people. Then you will know the fulfillment of this prophecy. You will know the fulfillment of this prophecy was spoken of by Zechariah. Listen. We are God's people if we live right and do right. We are God's people if we stand firm on the word of God. The thing is this, class, is we're living in a time that we got to stand firm. We're living in a time that every Christian should be falling on their knees every night. What's going on in the world today? And I say this because God, with his grace and his mercy, have given us work to do. And that work is to pray for the lost, pray for the lost, help the lost, and pray for each other. Is to pray for each other, because let me tell you something. We are in a society, so much is coming at us, and if you're not steadfast, unmovable, if you're not studying the word of God, if you're not in this word of God, it'll take you by surprise. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Give God your all in all, and whatever Babylon you're dealing with, give it to Jesus. He'll bring you out of it. I hope I said something tonight that there was a lot of stuff that I wanted to get to tonight from Zechariah chapter 2. But the next time we get together, Zechariah 4 and 5, we'll pick up in Zechariah chapter 2 and chapter 3. But there's a lot of stuff in Zechariah and that we need to get to, because sometimes you got so much stuff that you want to say and you just have a little time to say it. But next time we get together, we're gonna pull out a whole lot of stuff from Zechariah. I have a prayer request that Solomon gave me. Do you know who get? Oh. Sister Tina King, you. Oh, let's see. What did I do with it? Oh, let's see. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Let's see here. From Sister King. Pray, please pray for my family as we have lost an aunt. What's that, Cora? What's that last name, Cora? Cora Clark. A cousin. Marita Clark, please pray for a friend. What's that, Joanne? Oh, friend Zena, that had an, what was that? Okay, electric fire. Oh, okay. Wow. She had electric fire and she lost everything that she had in her home. Okay. Sister Douglas. Okay. I'm asking for prayer and healing for my sister. What's her name? Constance Gilliard. She will be attending her, what's that? A second series treatment for cancer. Pray for me too that I may be, pray for me that I might be, huh? Encouraging and helpful and not, and most important that she be okay. Be obedience to the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. I have on a different pair of glasses. Sometimes my bifocals are not heavy. I can't see that well. So forgive me for struggling with these words. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this night. We are thanking you. We are asking.